Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Will you join me in prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are two different stories in Genesis about the beginning of everything. In the first story, God hovers over the waters of chaos like a mother bird and speaks the creation into being. In a series of 6 days, the animals and we share the sixth day of creation, and God finally rests on the seventh day. In this story, God is the all-powerful and awe-inspiring poet of a brilliantly orderly, very good creation. God's very words create the world. In the second story about the beginning of everything, the characterization of God is much different. Same God, but a different perspective on God. God gets down into the dust and mud to first create Adam, then plant a garden on the well-watered face of the earth, and finally to form each of the animals. This God has conversations with us. Now, there's only one God, but there are different ways of understanding God, and in the Bible, there are multiple theological strands that are braided together so that we hear from God in different keys, we see God from different perspectives, and we experience God both as ultimate divine mystery and eventually as a flesh and blood person in Jesus Christ. In the part of the story that we heard today, God asks questions, 4 of them to be precise. Where are you? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? What is this that you have done? Now, really, what kind of God asks questions at all? God is supposed to be all-knowing. Most gods, if they communicate directly with people at all, spend their time issuing commands or meting out punishments and dispensing with words entirely. Gods ordinarily just do what gods want to do. But the people of Israel met the one God who so deeply desires a reconciled relationship with us that God asks, "Where are you?" Okay, the God of Israel issues commands and dispenses punishments and rewards too. But already in the book of Genesis, we start to wonder whether God wants to be more than a ruler and judge over us. Perhaps this inquiring God wants to be where we are, with us, in our troubles, in our joys, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our watersheds and forests, in our nations and our world. Perhaps this God refuses to take us by force, but waits and asks for an invitation, an open hand, an open heart, an open community. Where are you? That first question that God asks in the garden seems fitting for our community today. Where are you? This is a question that invites a description, an understanding of our place in the world. It's not about the past, but about now. It's not a question regarding the future, but the present. Where we are now is related to where we are from and where we're going. And incidentally, in the Bible, those questions, where are you from and where are you going, those are quite common in Scripture too. Many of us live with past regrets and wounds, unmet expectations from the past. And by contrast, many others live with anxieties about the future and dreams yet to be fulfilled. But God asks us, where are we in the present right now? It's not always an easy question to answer. In fact, the moment we begin to describe where we are, time moves on, circumstances shift, and we become a bit less certain of where we are. There's actually some science to this, too. We can't apparently measure both position and speed of a particle. And where an object is located in the universe and its speed is relative to the location of the one who's measuring. Still, even with an element of uncertainty, or perhaps because there's an element of uncertainty, God's very first question to humanity in the Garden of Eden, "Where are you?" is a great question for us. In August, I attended the festival gathering of the Network of Biblical Storytellers International, and I met people from all over the United States and Canada and several other countries who learn and tell Bible stories by heart. There were many workshops that were related to storytelling theory and technique, as well as various scripture-themed workshops. In one of them, which was led by a Canadian Mennonite named John Epp, his premise was very compelling for me. He drew a picture of how a lot of us have learned in Bible studies and in seminaries to read the Bible, and he indicated that we bring all of these different perspectives or lenses if we're honest about how we read the Bible. So we might bring a lens of a historical framework, what was happening when this part of the Bible was being written. Or we might bring literary lenses, what is the syntax and the poetry and the images in the literature. Or we might bring liberationists, how is this scripture about people being set free, or feminist concerns, or economic or political lenses. It's impossible to shed all of these ways that we read the Bible as if we have no perspective, as if we have no social location. But John Epp explained that ancient people, especially Jews of the first century, including Jesus and his early followers, approached life with the question, where are we in God's story? So they weren't so much concerned with their own, what they were bringing to Scripture, as trying to figure out, where do we belong in this story? Where are we in God's story right now? And that question rings true for me. Think about it. Jesus, as he's preaching and teaching, and the writers of the New Testament, they always seem to be locating themselves in God's big story. That's why the Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus as a second Adam. Where are we in the story? Paul says we're in the Garden of Eden, and that the church is this new community for humanity to live in reconciled relationship with God through Jesus, a second Adam. But others answer the question differently. Where are we in the story, in God's story? Martha of Bethany and Peter of Galilee, they both recognize Jesus as the Messiah, God's anointed. So Martha and Peter, they located themselves in God's story after the exile, among the prophets who were looking for a new anointed leader who could restore their people and their relationship with God. Jesus himself was always making a case for where we are in God's story at any particular moment. In his last meal with his friends, Jesus describes their table wine as a new covenant in his blood, as if we were simultaneously at that part in the story on the mountain with Moses receiving a covenant and living Jeremiah's dream of a new covenant that would be written on our hearts, personally. Where are we in God's big story? Are we in the wilderness, learning a new way of life? Are we being sent into challenging ministry? Are we being touched and healed by the words and the hand of Jesus? Last spring, my father began to have more episodes of memory loss and confusion. In May, as my parents made a move from Kentucky to Minnesota, they were driving two cars packed with belongings and a couple of dogs, planning to make the trip over a few days. But after one of their rest stops, my father got confused and he began driving. He must have gotten on the freeway. My mother didn't know where he was. Okay, a good question might be, where were their three adult children at a time like this? We were in three different states, berating ourselves for not helping our parents with this interstate trip. After some hours and a lot of three-way phone calls and connecting with the authorities in a couple different states, my father finally answered his phone. My sister asked him, "Where are you?" And he first began to describe the car that was in front of him, the heavy traffic, the stress of being on a highway and driving in the dark, in the rain. She had to start coaching him to look for green highway signs and read them to her, including the numbers. And finally, after various mileage signs, we were able to determine what state he was in and eventually which exit he took, where he had stopped, and we found him. Then God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." According to Genesis 3, the very one with whom we most need reconciliation and loving relationship, the one who knows us completely, who formed us, is the one that we sometimes avoid. In this part of the story, humanity is graced with an abundant garden and the intimate presence of God, who, like them, strolls among the trees. But they hide themselves, avoiding God. Where are we? Are we avoiding God? I do sometimes. God takes time, and I can be miserly with time. Learning and knowing God's story to figure out where we are takes time. But God's story can orient us to where we are. Are we confused? Do we see only our immediate surroundings without a bigger picture that would orient us and guide us back into community with God and with others? Where are we in God's story? This week, we have been at the terrible and tender place where we face death and loss. We have wept, and we will weep some more. The gift of God and the gift of God's people is to help us place all of our experiences, including the most disorienting, into the larger story of God. Heidi and Brendan and their families did that by turning to Psalm 139 that we recited together this morning, a celebration of Ella Mae's life through their tears. Where are we in God's story? Where are we in relationship to the God who asks us this question? Where are we in relationship to the people who love us and who will help us return home? God's questions. Where are you? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? What is this you have done? These questions would be misunderstood if we heard them from the voice of a distant, accusatory God who stands ready to catch us in our error and punish our sin. And actually, these questions in this characterization of God aren't even from that all-powerful God who simply speaks the world into being like a poet. These questions come from the God who is a bit like us, fiddling in the mud, walking in the garden, enjoying the evening breeze. These are questions meant to draw us out, to draw us in, draw us into deeper communion with God, so that we can always locate ourselves in God's story. These are not questions to prove us wrong, shame us, or confirm our guilt. It's not that God has lost us, or that God doesn't understand our circumstances or our choices. Rather, through inquiry, God moves us into a deeper understanding of our lives. As we respond to God, even if our understanding of where we are is a little mistaken or immature or misguided, even then, it's a beginning of opening ourselves to the possibility of trust, growth, and transformation. Let us open ourselves to God.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.